Stewardship is the grateful response of a Christian disciple. We've heard this many times, I think. And that is us. We are Christian disciples who live out our stewardship. And so our question this year is, who are we following? We're following Jesus, right? We're following Jesus. We are Christian disciples, followers of Jesus. And yesterday, I was reminded, yesterday we celebrated, the church celebrated, the feast of St. Jerome. And St. Jerome famously wrote that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And that rung very true to me. Because every time I go back to the Scriptures, I'm reminded of this, of who Jesus really is. When we, you know, if we think about Jesus and maybe hear some things about Jesus, but don't continue to go back to the Scriptures, our understanding of Jesus kind of can become more of like a spark note understanding of Jesus, of Jesus was merciful, Jesus performed miracles. We kind of get the bullet points, but we miss who he really was and who he really is. And also, maybe even worse, if we don't continue to go back to the Scriptures, go back to read about Jesus's life, to read what Jesus does, we tend to kind of recreate Jesus in our own image. So that when we think of Jesus, we see maybe it's me, just a lot smarter and more disciplined. And that's, we can kind of tend to think that Jesus thinks like us and thinks like maybe some of the dominant voices we hear. But that's where we go back. We go back to the Scriptures to be reminded and to enter into the mystery of who is this man who is also God, who came down to heaven from heaven and lived with us. And so St. Paul, in the second reading, shows us, he kind of describes Christ's mission, and it's seen in parallel to Adam. So Adam wanted to be like God, not me, well, sometimes me, but Adam wanted to be like God, and so he reached out and he grasped for it. He tried to take it for himself. And what he grasped was the fruit and the fall. He tried to be like God. And in that way, he was disobedient. But we see in Christ, as St. Paul reminds us, Christ did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Even though he was God, he didn't seek to use his divinity for his own advancement, for his own power. No, he humbled himself and became a man, became a person. And then he lived like us. He didn't throw around his divine powers willy-nilly for, you know, to make a show or to make himself look great. No, he used it only in the service of others, in the service of his mission, that is, the mission of God the Father. So he was obedient. And then even further, he was obedient even to the cross, to die, to lay down his life in obedience to God the Father and for the salvation of mankind. But Jesus' obedience is not just submission to somebody else's tyrannical will. No, Jesus voluntarily united his will to God's will. And that is the man. That's the man we follow. Who are we following? That guy. We're following the man who completely united his will voluntarily to the will of God the Father. And then we see, as St. Paul says, because of this, consequently, as a result of Jesus' radical humility, coming all the way down to die on the cross, that God exalts him as a consequence. God lifts him up so that his name will be greater than every name. Every knee will bow and every tongue will profess him Lord. Every tongue will profess him to be God. And it says even below the earth, even the demons have to do that because they know it's the truth. They can't deny the truth that Jesus is Lord. And that's the man we follow. That's the man we give our grateful response to. That's the man we're striving to imitate. The man who humbled himself to unite his will completely to the will of God the Father, not for his own gain, but for others, for us. And then we see in the gospel, Jesus tells the parable of the two sons. The father comes to them and asks one, will you come to work with me in the vineyard? He says, no, but then he goes. And the second, he says, yes, but does not go. This is, and then we see a good example of a bad example. The chief priests and the elders whom Jesus is speaking to, they are kind of that second son who've said yes through their life, being religious followers, reading the scriptures and trying to teach others about God, to live righteously. But now Jesus is inviting them to something new. He's inviting them to follow the Messiah, and they're not going. They're not following after him. But he's inviting them. He's standing in front of them, and he's inviting them. He says, you can still change your minds, and I invite you to please change your minds and come and follow me. Because they had a plan about, you know, who they thought the Messiah would be and how God acts. But they weren't open to that change, to be surprised again by who God actually is. He's not whom we've created him to be, but he is other. And we follow and imitate him. And so he's inviting them back into that reality to say, no, this, I am God. And this image you've kind of created of who I am is not right. You don't have all the answers, but come and follow me. Turn back, repent, believe in the gospel, believe in me. And so he leaves it open to them. He invites them to come and work with him in the vineyard, to be with him. Well, today we get to reflect and celebrate as a parish how over the last year we have said yes and gone into the vineyard to work with God the Father. And so I ask the ushers, we have, come forward, our parish annual report. So a report of all the things that have occurred in our parish over the last year. And it certainly is something to celebrate. As you'll see, it's chock full of things. And many of these things are new and unique to what we've done just this last year. And so I, being new here, found the old one because I just wanted to kind of compare the two. And I found this rather interesting. If you open it up, this is the old one. You'll see that the new things we've done and things we're doing, they fit kind of in this smaller area of the report. And there's nothing on the back. But if you look at the one we have this year, and it's pretty amazing, we've completely filled the inside. It is full of things. And then it overflows and fills the entire back. So certainly something to celebrate. How we have said yes to God's invitation to come and work with him. How as a parish we've responded. We've gone into the vineyard. We've allowed God to call us to new and greater things, as he always will. So it's amazing what we've accomplished. And another thing to point out is this is not a list of the accomplishments of the priests of the parish. This is not a list of the accomplishments of the parish office. No, this is the stewards, the grateful response of all of us who have gone out and said yes and were able to do all these things for the greater glory of God and the advancement of the kingdom on earth. And so, yes, this is exciting. Congratulations. And this is what truly makes me proud to be a part of this parish, that we have done so much. But, as Father Yurok says in his message, we do not rest on our laurels, but we must go forward again in this new year to say yes, to allow God to call us to new things, to come out of our comfort zone, to repent and follow in new ways. And so this report will look different next year of all the things we've responded yes to over this coming year. And so I'm very excited again to see it. But this, as few years to look at, I won't go through it, but pretty amazing. And so I'm proud to be a part of this parish that is full of stewards, Christians, responding, recognizing and receiving the gifts that God has given them and sharing them in love of God and neighbor. So congratulations. And congratulate each other, good and faithful stewards.